Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Jay Horowitz with a special edition of Amazing Conversation with my friend Billy Wagner. Billy, right now you're on the precipice of maybe getting to the Hall of Fame. Before we get into that, I remember at the old timers game a couple of years ago, no one appreciated Mets history or history of the game more than you did. How does it feel, you know, maybe in January Hall of Fame, be the history buff? What does it mean to all of you as you're getting close to, you know, decision time?
Well, I tell you, being a history buff and knowing what is possible, being that history is so much a part of this game. To be on a stage where you're looking back at, you know, where the greats of all time greats have been, you know, the Tom Seavers, the Nolan Ryans, the greats. I mean, there's so many names that flash back to my head that I have looked up to, and, you know, the Robin Roberts, that gave me a little special attention when I was in Philadelphia. It's a special moment to think about, and from a small town kid like myself from Southwest Virginia to think that, you know, you could stand on the stage with giants and be looked in the same manner. It's very humbling and sometimes overwhelming because, you know, no matter what people say, maybe I don't feel like I, you know, stand in that light that they do.
But I remember at the old timers, you weren't interested in the big guys. You would try to find a 62 Mets, a 69 Mets. You were interested in everybody who was at Citi Field that day.
Well, I just love the game. I love the history of it. I love hearing the stories, the old stories. It feels like to me when I think really the greatest compliment a player can get or I've received is when a guy like Bruce Sutter or Goose Gossage or one of the older players goes, hey, you could play in our era. I really feel like those are the greatest compliments, and I love hearing the stories. I love sitting with them, just hearing the stories of when they played, the guys that they played with, listening to stories about Moose Cowan or listening to the Mickey Mantle stories or just listening to the Willie Mays when he came over, and just the stories of hearing, you know, how the process of the Mets got started and how, you know, just the nature of the game. I mean, when you watch the films of the old games, just how true and precious it really was, because you could have a real relationship with fans, and it was truly was like the golden age.
Billy, how closely did you follow the process? When you first were on the ballot, you were 10.5%. Next year, you were down 10.2%. You know, did you follow closely every year, try not to think about it? Now, you know, 68-point run right at the precipice of it.
Well, early was frustrating because, you know, I really didn't know the process. Really the best thing that happened was I was probably not doing a lot of interviews because I just didn't know how that went. You know, when you deal with the media, it's very fickle. And so knowing that being type A and opinionated, that you just can't go out there and do those things. And there's no reason for my opinion to be heard because my numbers did all the speaking. And so when you look at the 10.5 and the 10.2, you know, of course it's frustrating. But, you know, looking back through that early process, you know, being humble and grateful to be on that ballot with who I was on there with was, you know, something I really slowed myself down to think about that, you know, to be on that list was super. But as the process is kind of when I stopped paying attention, my kids pay attention, you know, I kind of have an idea when it gets close, somebody's telling me. But, you know, I've really dove into the high school scene with these kids and tried to really take that and work out and just take those things off of my plate because it's just things I can't handle anymore. And I think now at this point is probably even harder because, 68%, you know, the first thing that was told to me is, hey, nobody's ever gotten that high a percentage. not gotten in. So, you know what, there's always going to be a first, and you know, you're always worried
about that guy. But your numbers are really incredible. Lifetime 187 batting average against, 11.9 strikeouts per nine inning, 5.99 hits per nine innings. You know, 5'10", 180 pounds, oh, close to over 1,196 strikeouts. Where did all the power come from?
Well, I've been very blessed. God's blessed me tenfold by just going out and giving me the ability to compete and you know, kind of be, you know, a vessel for him. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason I should be able to do this. There's no rhyme or reason some of the guys who were blessed, the Toy Cannon, and some of these players that were undersized, with like Dustin Pedroia, were able to go out and do the things they did. It was just that, you know, God-given talent. We love to compete. And, you know, you always have to play with that chip on your shoulder when you're playing against these giants. And so, you know, when you go out there and you're facing the Mike Piazzas of the world, and I mean, and you're 5'10", I mean, that thing, look, he looks like a monster. And so, you know, God blessed me with a great arm and the opportunity to go out there and compete. And, you know, I've just been blessed ever since.
Speaking of arms, if it wasn't for two football injuries when you were younger, you might have been a righty, right? You broke your arm playing football twice.
Yeah. Well, the first time I broke it, the second time I fell off monkey bars. But, you know, I mean, I wasn't one to sit around. So, horseplay and roughhousing with anybody bigger that wanted to play was just kind of the norm around my house and my grandmother's house. So, but I mean, like you said, you know, the great story of like Roy Oswalt, how he started throwing 90 was he was fixing his car battery and all of a sudden his spark hit him and shocked his arm. Next thing you know, he's throwing 90. I mean, you know, he's from Weir, Mississippi. So I don't know how much you can trust in that, but I know that when you're watching pitch, you're going, well, there might be credibility. So we're all blessed, and there's all weird ways that we get to where we're at. But I tell you, you know, for me to sit here and say, you know what, if this hard work, you know, a lot of us just got given ability. And, you know, and when you're given that ability to go out there and to, you know, just respond and use it to the best of your ability. And, you know, I was blessed to go out and be successful with it.
Billy, I want to jog my memory. I remember you come from a small town of Virginia and you never forgot your roots. Didn't we used to do charities?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You always did a charity fair every after the year for the people down in Virginia. You never to forget where you came from. And we did that, right? You and I.
Yeah, it was Second Chance Learning. We take kids and that were kind of slipping through the cracks, and we'd put them into colleges and things like that. And through, you know, just tutoring and mentoring, and you know, we'd hold a concert and stuff like that. And you know, I haven't forgotten, because you know what, I was one of those kids. If I wouldn't have been blessed with the right people being around me and kind of taking a chance on me, I wouldn't have gotten this opportunity to be sitting here in front of you today or play pro baseball. It would have been probably a ditch digger and a grunt. It really would have. And I mean, you know, in all honesty, this is, you know, a way to give back, to let people in Southwest Virginia and people know that, you know, putting in the work and work ethic is truly something that you can control. And if you take it, if you take that initiative, you can be successful.
But tell me about the school. You still at Miller School, right? I mean, and we do travel ball too. So tell me about the coaching you do.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Jay. That's probably the greatest thing I've ever done. I mean, you know, I love coaching, and I've been around a lot of great coaches, as far as my high school coach, college coach, professional coaches, and in each way, they've taught me things that, you know, I want to be able to instill with the kids of today, and today with social media and a lot of the pressure, you know, going to this small school of about 190 kids, private school in central Virginia, right outside of UVA. You know, we have an opportunity to really inspire and show these kids how the ground roots of the game are. And really, for me, it's showing these kids how hard this game is, and to appreciate the work ethic, and to give them the sense of being a good teammate, and loving what they do and not considering it a job. And it's one of the greatest things I've ever been a part of. I just truly enjoy the relationships with the kids. I enjoy, you know, the opportunity to go out there and watch kids be successful. And the kid's success truly is the reward of the coach. It's, you know, when a kid isn't successful, that's when the coach really has those moments of you know, of heartbreak. And I see it now more and more because these kids want so much. And having somebody that's been there and went through all the steps and understanding how tough this game is to kind of help guide and be understanding is something that I think God really put me in this situation for.
Billy, don't you help kids get into college too? I remember last time we spoke, you sort of like a college surrogate guidance counselor too.
I don't know how well. I like to be able to call the coaches and give them input on these kids. I make a lot of phone calls and things like that. It's difficult more today because of the portals. If you go on the WhatsApp or the Twitter and Facebook and things like that today, I mean, you have to be self-promotional in every way. And I couldn't be any less. I'm not one to do those things. So it's been, you know, those are things that I've had to learn to be understanding more about for these kids, because colleges really look at, you know, their stats as far, not even their batting errors, but their exit velos, their spin rates and all these things so much differently that you got to self-promote. And I mean, it's funny why we've been doing this. I've gotten three texts sitting here from college coaches going, asking questions about, you know, a spin rate or how, you know, what's the size of this kid. And, you know, it's changed. I mean, you know, if I was to play in today's age, I would probably not get drafted. I would not get looked at the same way because of the size that people see. And I don't know if the coaches are as committed to coaching as they used to be when I was playing. You could commit and build a kid. Now, if that kid's not ready to go when you step on campus, you're not going to be there.
Well, 422 saves. Seven all-star teams did pretty well. Billy, tell me, you just in Puerto Rico with your daughter, but she's a basketball player, not a baseball player.
Well, you know, she could have been a baseball player. She's tough. She played softball and she was a catcher. So that automatically means she's tough and hard headed.
Yes.
So now my wife is pretty calm during baseball season, but in basketball season, she's intense. I mean, sitting beside her is I'm getting boxed out and blocked and elbowed the whole game. And so, you know, and so when she's, and so it's good to be in that role and be supportive for her. And, you know, I enjoy watching women's basketball. It's probably one of the greatest things. We watch that probably more than any other sport. We watch our baseball, but we probably watch women's basketball more than any sport we've ever watched.
Billy, do the kids in your high school know what's coming up? Do they know what January could mean to you? I mean, are they all self-aware? I know you're not going to tell people, but most of the people around you are aware of what could be happening.
Well, I think to some extent, you know, and that, you know, it's funny. The hardest thing for me is, you know, it's not like, you know, I have eight coaches that are able to come out and coach. And I mean, I'm there every day. So my concern is always about the kids. So I really don't, you know, I'm always trying to figure out what happens if, you know, I don't know, and I don't want them to be concerned about the what if for me, because I don't go out. I want them to be totally focused on what they have to do. I don't know if they do. Maybe they do. You know, I don't want that. I don't want that to be a distraction. So when I go out there to coach, I'm pretty much, you know, it's about the business of that day. So, but I really don't know. I've got parents that know, but the kids, I probably not.
Billy, my time with you, the 4 years together, what I admired about you, you never backed away from a challenge. You came into a tough market in New York, never always were there, good or bad. And probably the best thing you did. Your entrance song was Enter Sandman. It was a lot of controversy. That was Mariano Rivera's song, too.
And that's why I'm losing votes in New York right now, because I should have just changed it.
You stood your ground. You know, you did back off, and every time he came from that bullpen in right field, they played Enter Sandman. And, you know, now when they had to sing with Edward Diaz's song, you know.
Yeah.
Two people could have the same song. But I mean, you got, you know, the first 2 years we were there, we were right on the verge of things. You know, I'll never forget, the home run in the ninth inning, the Cardinals when we lost. And, you know, once Andy made the catch in the sixth inning, Andy Chavez became seven, I would have bet my meager life savings that we would have gotten to the World Series that year in 06.
Well, I tell you, you know, I would have too. I tell you, you know, to this day, and, you know, I think we did something a while back. And, you know, I was talking to Willie and guys like that. I tell you, there's moments, you know, every career, everybody looks back because I wouldn't change a thing. But I tell you, if there was one moment in time, I would love to have, you know, changed, you know, that game, that moment, been out on the mound, you know, win, lose, or draw. Those are things that probably haunt an athlete more than anything in that situation. I mean, the Sotoguchi home run off of me. I mean, there are so many things that, you know, Sotoguchi hadn't gotten a hit off me. And then all of a sudden he gets a home run. I mean, you know, there are so many things that go through that of not playing well or just, you know, not well enough. And so, you know, that year was just one of the greatest and most exciting years to ever be a Met for me. And, you know, to see it come down to that, that was so heartbreaking. I mean, I think about it. I mean, I see it in my sleep at times where, you know, man, if I'd have done something different, you know, those are the great disappointments in a career.
We won 97 games that year, you know, and so we talk about the ballot, you know, a newcomer to the ballot this year is David Wright, a former teammate. What did you think if he hadn't gotten hurt? I mean, what were your thoughts on David Wright? To me, he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Jay. I think David was that special person that knew how to play the game, handled the media, handled it himself, handled the outside life with New York. I mean, he was the Derek Jeter for us. And I mean, he was our captain. He was the guy who, you know, at 23, 24 years old, he's standing in the limelight, answering the tough questions. And I mean, you know, I know that not many of us would have been that were there, were able to handle that pressure. The way he came in and competed daily, how he competed and held high standards for himself. I mean, there's no doubt. I think David is a Hall of Famer. I think that, unfortunately, and the thing that I admire about him is he didn't cheat his way to get there. You know, he didn't try to go around it, you know, and I respect that about Dave. I tell you, you know, those are the things that make me appreciate Dave more, because he was a true baseball gritty superstar that probably he is a Hall of Famer. He may not get in, but it's not because he doesn't deserve to be in there. And, you know, we all know that being a Hall of Famer is not just your numbers. It's really what you brought to that era. And I mean, if numbers were truly what we were worrying about, there's a lot of things wouldn't be the same. So David Wright's a Hall of Famer, whether he gets in or he doesn't.
I agree 100%. Are you in nervous, Nelly? What do you think you'd be doing on January 23rd, which is late in the day?
You know what? I don't know. Hopefully I'll be busy. I know last year they called me when they thought there was a possibility. And you know, they were like, hey, you need to stay at home so we can call you. And I just told – I remember telling them, I said, I'm just probably not going to do that. I'm not going to sit there and be nervous and then not get a phone call. And then it's heartbreaking. I don't think people realize. I mean, this is a moment that every – pro athlete, you know, this is like the greatest thing a pro athlete can end his career on, as being a Hall of Famer. It's, and to be so close and to have so many things that, I mean, I don't think people realize there's nothing else you can do as an athlete. Now, my stats are there. All I can do is just be politically correct and listen to all these things. And it is so hard to hear all the negative things. So you have to really distance yourself. So I don't handle that well, so I really distance myself well. You know well, Jay, my emotions are on my sleeve. I you would think at 52 years old, I'd gotten better, but the way I've gotten better is.
Well, don't change, Billy.
Don't pay attention.
let me put it that. So in the Hall of Fame, you're 224 players, 342 total people, executives, managers, but only 8 relief pitchers. If you want to count Schmaltz, there's 9. So, I mean, it's out of the 224 players, there's only 9 relief pitchers. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's not a value to them until you need them, right? Who needs a Mariano Rivera until you don't have Mariano or Trevor or John Franco or Bruce Sutter or Raleigh Fingers or Goose Gossage. Who needs those guys until you need those guys, right? And so everybody can do it, but can they do it for longevity? Can they keep running out there? And I mean, closers don't have the luxury of a fall net. You know, you're going to have your bad days, but you don't have the luxury of having the fall net. You don't have, and when you put up numbers, a consistent number of batting average against or strikeouts per nine innings or whatever you want to value guys on, dominance is dominance. And if in errors that you're looking for, it's very difficult to explain why these guys, you know, don't fall. I mean, how do you say that a Kenley Jansen is not a Hall of Famer? I mean, the guy's tremendous. How do you say that a Craig Kimbrell is not a Hall of Famer? I mean, there's so many guys, but I mean, and I understand it's a tough process, but when you talk about dominance, if you're really going to talk about dominance, the numbers have to be what they are. You can't get away from, and I guess I keep getting back to everybody's says my 900 innings is the fallback. Oh, we can't put a guy in there with only 900, but everything else is better than some of the guys that are actually in the Hall of Fame.
No
so
question.
How do you say that that's justifiable if my numbers are better at 900 innings than a guy who's got 1100 innings? I mean, those are the things. I mean, when you talk about dominance, that's the thing that it comes back to. And you know, as well as I do, Jay, this is a political game. It's not a true game of numbers. I mean, Johnny Franco and guys like that, a guy like Dale Murphy and guys like that, there's so many guys that are outliers that have those numbers that, you know, weren't able to get in. But I tell you, I don't know what the game would be like without a Johnny Franco or a Dale Murphy or, you know, guys like that that were dominant in their era and held a high position. But, you know, once again, you know, you're at the mercy of people I don't know. I don't even know if they've seen me. I don't know if it's, you know, word of mouth that they go by and you know. So it's difficult. So that's why I try to stay outside of it.
Well, listen, your Mets family here is pulling for you, my friend. And hopefully on January 23rd, you'll have great news. And I appreciate your time today, Billy.
Jay, I always appreciate seeing you. Take care, buddy. Thanks again.